Welcome back, everyone. Ready to dive into another fascinating business book.
Always excited to unpack some wisdom. What are we exploring today?
Today, it's The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. We're going to really dissect his ideas about building a business that, you know, actually works. One that doesn't burn you out completely.
Oh, that's a good one. A classic for sure. It really challenges that romanticized image we often have about being an entrepreneur, right?
It totally does. And it starts by saying that, you know, most businesses actually don't fail because of lack of skill or lack of money.
Right. Gerber says it's something else entirely. He calls it the E-myth.
The E-myth. I like that. It's catchy. But what exactly does it mean?
Well, it boils down to this idea that being good at something automatically means you'll be good at running a business doing that thing.
I get it. So, like, just because I'm an amazing cook doesn't mean I'll automatically be successful running a restaurant.
Precisely. Gerber uses this great example in the book, Sarah the Pie Baker. She pours her heart into her pies. Her shop is adorable. Everyone loves her pies. But she's working like crazy, can't seem to get out of debt, and feeling totally burned out.
So it's not about passion. It's not about skill. What is it then?
She's gotten so caught up in the doing, the baking, the day-to-day stuff, she's forgotten about the running of the business.
So the E-myth is that the technician, the person who's great at the craft, forgets to actually, well, run the business side of things.
Exactly. You become so busy working in your business that you forget to work on your business.
Okay, I've heard that phrase before. Work on your business, not in it. But I'm not sure I completely understand it. What's the difference?
Well, working in your business is like, you know, being the chef, the designer, the pie baker. It's doing the tasks you love. But working on your business is the bigger picture. The strategy, systems, creating a framework, all those things that help your business run without you needing to be there all the time.
Wow, that's a good distinction. But how do we actually make that shift? I mean, it's hard to step back from the thing you love, right?
Well, Gerber says we all have these, like, three personalities inside us when it comes to business. The entrepreneur, the manager, and, you guessed it, the technician.
Oh, this is getting interesting. So it's like an internal battle going on.
Kind of. So the entrepreneur is the visionary, thinks big picture. Yeah. The manager is all about systems, organization, that sort of thing. And the technician, well, that's the one who loves being in the trenches, doing the actual work.
Hold on. So which one's the bad guy here? Is it the technician?
Not necessarily. All three are important. It's all about balance. Think of it this way. The entrepreneur sets the vision, right? The manager makes the plan. And then the technician, they execute that plan.
Okay. I think I'm getting it. But how do we know which personality needs to be in charge at any given time?
Well, Gerber says businesses go through these phases kind of like people. He calls them infancy, adolescence, and then the goal, maturity. And each stage needs, like, a different balance of those three personalities.
Okay, so fill me in. What's this infancy stage all about?
Infancy is that exciting beginning. You know, lots of passion, long hours. You're pouring your heart into your new business, baby. Wearing all the hats, juggling everything.
So like Sarah the Pie Baker when she first opened her shop.
Exactly. She's in that infancy stage. Pure passion, energy. But it can be a dangerous stage, too.
Dangerous. How so?
Well, you can get so caught up in all the doing, you kind of forget about the bigger picture. You forget to build a business that can, you know, actually sustain itself.
I can see that. It's easy to lose yourself in the excitement of a new venture.
Right. And that's when you might hit some trouble. You might move out of infancy and, well, things get a bit more complicated.
So what happens next? What's this adolescence stage about?
Well, things get a bit messy. Maybe the business is growing, you're hiring people, but it feels like everything's on fire all the time. You need to delegate, but that can be scary.
Oh, I can imagine. Letting go of control is tough.
It is. And that's where lots of businesses get stuck, you know? The owner feels overwhelmed and just wants to go back to doing the work themselves.
I get it. It's comforting, right? You get ordered the work, feel safer.
True, but it's a sure path to burnout. This is where you've really got to step back from the day-to-day and build those systems and processes that allow the business to run more smoothly.
Okay, so how do we get to the promised land then? How do we reach this maturity stage?
Maturity. That's the dream. It's all about having a business that works even without you being there all the time.
You're making it sound so tempting. A business that runs itself.
It can happen. But it takes a real shift in thinking. You've got to see your business like almost like a franchise model, something that can be replicated.
So that's where we get to this franchise prototype idea, right?
Exactly. So this franchise prototype, it's like a blueprint, right, for your whole business.
Okay, that makes sense. But we've kind of jumped ahead. Back up a second. before we can even create that prototype, we need to have a vision, right? Like, where are we even going with this business?
Oh, you're absolutely right. We can't just build any old blueprint. It needs a purpose. That's where the strategic objective comes in.
Strategic objective. Sounds a little intimidating, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like something for a giant corporation. Not my little pie shop.
Not at all. It's actually quite simple. Think of it as like a clear statement of what your business needs to achieve so you can achieve your personal goals.
So it's not just about making money.
Well, money's definitely part of it. But it's more than that. It's about figuring out what you want your business to do for you. Like, do you want more time with your family? Do you want to give back to your community?
Wow. Okay, you're really making me think here.
Yeah, you really got to think about the why behind your business. Because without it, you're just kind of floating along, hoping for the best.
Okay, so how do I figure out this strategic objective? Where do I even begin?
Gerber suggests starting with two key questions. First, how much money do you actually need to make to live the life you want?
Okay. Be specific.
Yeah, like don't just say, I want to be rich. Think about it. How much money do you need to have the freedom to do the things you want?
Right. That makes sense. But money isn't the only thing. I mean, there's got to be something more to it than that.
Exactly. And that leads to the second question. Does your business have the potential to get you there financially while also giving you something you're actually passionate about?
Something you're passionate about. I like that.
Yeah, you want to make sure your business is aligned with your values, your passions, your dreams, all of that.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely felt that struggle. Trying to balance making money with doing something I actually care about.
It's a common thing, but a good strategic objective can really help you find that sweet spot, you know?
So it's like a roadmap, a compass. It guides you toward something that's both like profitable and fulfilling.
Exactly.
You got it. Okay. So let's say we've got our strategic objective figured out. We're clear on our why and all that. But how do we actually build a business that can achieve those goals?
Well, that's where this whole idea of the franchise prototype comes back into play. Remember that blueprint we were talking about?
Okay, yeah. Remind me, what exactly is a franchise prototype?
Think of it as like a system that can be repeated and scaled. You're standardizing your processes, creating a consistent experience for your customers, building a brand they trust.
So like, I'm making a McDonald's, but for my own industry.
Exactly. Think about McDonald's. Does it matter where you go? You know what to expect. The food tastes the same. Service is pretty much the same. They've got this consistent branding.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And that consistency, it builds trust.
You got it. Yeah. And that trust leads to loyalty. And loyalty leads to more sales.
Okay, so how do we actually build this franchise prototype? Where do we even start?
Gerber breaks it down into three key elements. Innovation, quantification, and orchestration.
Innovation. That makes sense. Got to keep things fresh, keep improving. But quantification. Numbers aren't really my forte.
I hear you. But quantification is basically just about measuring things, tracking your progress, seeing what's working and what's not, so you can adjust as you go.
So it's about using data to make smarter decisions, not just crunching numbers for fun.
Exactly. And you can start small, you know? Track simple things like how many people are visiting your website, how many you're actually buying, stuff like that.
Okay. That feels a bit less intimidating. So we're innovating, we're quantifying. And what was that third thing again?
Orchestration. This is all about the customer experience. From the moment they first hear about you to when they buy something and even after that.
Orchestration. Sounds important, but also kind of vague. What does it actually look like in practice?
Well, think about how you answer the phone. Is it consistent? Professional? What about your website? Is it easy to use? Does it clearly show what you're all about? Even things like how you package your products or what music you play in your store, they all contribute to the experience.
Wow, you're right. It's all these little details that add up to create this whole picture.
Exactly. And when you get it right, you create this brand that people want to be a part of.
This is all starting to come together now. Innovate to stay ahead of the curve. Quantify to track your progress. And orchestrate to create this amazing customer experience. But are we missing something? Don't we also need to like really understand our customers?
No, you are so right. You've got to know your customer inside and out. And that's where marketing comes in.
Okay, hit me with it. What's Gerber's take on marketing?
Well, he says marketing isn't just about advertising and slogans. It's about getting into your customer's head, understanding what makes them tick.
Wait, psychology. We're getting that deep into it.
He actually says people don't buy products or services. They buy feelings. solutions to their problems. They buy into a story.
Interesting. So it's not about what I'm selling. It's about, like, what need I'm fulfilling for the customer.
Now you're getting it. To do that well, you got to get into their motivations, fears, aspirations, all of it.
Okay, so how do we actually get that deep understanding? Do I need to become a therapist now?
Not quite. But Gerber suggests these two tools, demographic and psychographic models.
Okay, break those down for me. What are we talking about here?
Demographics, that's just basic info about your customer, right? Their age, where they live, their income, things like that. Psychographics, those are a bit deeper. Their values, their beliefs, their lifestyle, what motivates them.
So demographics tell us who they are. Psychographics tell us why they buy.
Boom. You got it. And when you combine those two, you get this really detailed picture of your ideal customer, what they want, what they need, what makes them pull out their wallet.
This is starting to feel like we're building this secret weapon. We understand our customer. We have our strategic objective. We're building a franchise prototype. What's next?
Well, now we got to tie it all together with a system to manage it all.
Oh, here comes the M word. Management. Ugh, I already feel like I'm drowning in paperwork just thinking about it.
I get it. But think of it this way. A good management system isn't about being bogged down in rules. It's like the conductor of an orchestra, bringing all the parts together in harmony so everything runs smoothly.
Okay, I like that analogy much better. So what are the key things to focus on when creating this system?
So yeah, Gerber talks about these seven key elements for a great management system. They are purpose, standards and values, visible results, flexibility, measurement, understanding, and then fun.
Wow. Okay, a lot to unpack there. Let's start with purpose. I get that a business needs to make money, but what else is he talking about here?
Right. It's more than just profits. It's about your business's why. Why does it exist in the first place? What impact do you want to have, you know, on your customers, your community, the world?
Right, like a deeper mission.
Exactly. And that purpose can be really motivating for you and for everyone who works with you.
Okay, that makes sense. What about standards and values? How do those fit in?
Well, your standards and values are kind of like the how. How you do business, how you treat your customers, your employees, your suppliers, everybody. They really shape your company culture.
So it's about actually living those values, not just talking about them.
Exactly. And when you walk the walk, it builds trust and integrity. Customers see that. Employees feel it.
Okay, starting to see the bigger picture here. What about visible results? Why are those so important?
Because everyone needs to celebrate wins. Big and small. It's about recognizing people's efforts, you know, making them feel valued and appreciated.
Right. So not just focusing on the big goals, but acknowledging all the little steps along the way.
You got it. Celebrating those little wins helps keep everyone motivated and excited.
Okay. And flexibility. Why is that an important part of this system?
Because things change. The business world is constantly evolving, right? So you can't be stuck in a rigid system. You got to be able to adapt to new challenges, new opportunities.
So be ready to pivot when you need to.
Exactly. That's what keeps you ahead of the game.
Okay, so we've got purpose, standards and values, celebrating those results, staying flexible. Now, what about measurement?
Ah, remember quantification. Well, measurement is basically about tracking those key performance indicators or KPIs. They're those metrics that tell you what's working and what's not.
Right, right. So we're using data to make better decisions.
Exactly. You need a system to collect the data, analyze it, and then use it to make those smart moves.
Okay, and then understanding. What's that all about?
This one's all about communication, making sure everyone on your team knows the game plan, the goals, how their role fits into the bigger picture.
So transparency, clear communication, making sure everyone's on the same page.
You got it. When everyone understands what they're working toward, they're more engaged and motivated to make it happen.
This is all starting to make so much sense. Okay, we've hit 6 out of 7. What's the final element?
The fun one. It's fun.
Wait, we're talking about management systems here.
I know, right? Sounds crazy. But work shouldn't be a drag. When you build in some fun, it makes the whole environment more positive.
Okay, I can definitely get behind that. But what does fun even look like in a business?
Oh, it can be all sorts of things. Team building activities, celebrating milestones, just finding ways to incorporate some humor and lightheartedness into the day.
I love that. So it's not just about building a business, it's about building a culture, a place where people enjoy coming to work.
Exactly. And that's what makes a management system truly effective. It creates an environment where everyone can thrive.
Wow, this has been an amazing deep dive. We've covered so much ground, debunked the e-myth, learned about building that franchise prototype, getting crystal clear on our strategic objective, and now creating this awesome management system.
It's all connected, right? It's a whole approach to building a business that serves you instead of the other way around.
And it starts with that mindset shift, thinking differently about how we approach building and running a business.
Remember, your business is like a reflection of you. If you want to change the business, you got to start with yourself.
This has given me so much to think about. I feel like I have a whole new toolbox to build a business that's not just successful, but also meaningful.
That's the beauty of the E-Myth Revisited. It helps you live a more intentional life, not just build a better business.
So to everyone listening, what kind of business do you want to create? What kind of impact do you want to make? It's all within your reach.
Go out there and build something amazing.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the E-Myth Revisited. We hope you found it as inspiring as we did.